Leviticus chapter 19. The study tonight is about harlots, especially because last week, the last study, we considered Solomon in his wisdom. And tonight I want to read a few scriptures before I read you about Solomon's wisdom and the two harlots that are concerned. So let's see a little bit about what the Bible says concerning harlots. Leviticus chapter 19. Who could ever think of such a thing in verse 29? Leviticus 19, 29. Profane not thy daughter to make her a harlot, lest the land fall to whoredom, and the land become full of wickedness. Who could conceive of such a thing? Now chapter 21. Verse 7. Concerning the high priest, it says, and the priests, they shall not take a woman that is an harlot or profane, neither shall they take a woman put away from her husband, for he is holy unto his God. And look at verse 9. And the daughter of any priest, if she profane herself by playing the harlot, she profaneth her father, she shall be burnt with fire. Some thoughts about harlots in the Old Testament. And now, turn to Luke chapter 7 in the New Testament. Luke 7. Look at verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he entered into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman who was in the city, a sinner. Notice this euphematical way of describing this woman that we've been reading about in the Old Testament. She was in the city, a sinner. And when she knew that he was sitting at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster cruse of ointment, and standing behind at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and she wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. And in brief, look at verse 44. The Savior says to Simon the Pharisee, he says, Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into your house, you gave me no water for my feet, but she hath wetted my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. Thou gavest me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but she hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And now, turn to Matthew. Look at Matthew chapter 21. Chapter 21. The Savior, in speaking to his fellow countrymen, has asked a question about doing the will of God. And in verse 31, he says, which of the two did the will of his father? They say the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when ye saw it, did not even repent yourselves afterward, that you might believe him. And now, Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 3. When we took up Solomon, we found out that God came to him in a dream and offered him what he wanted. And Solomon prayed for wisdom and understanding, and God granted him that wish. Now, in chapter 3, the Lord is going to give us a demonstration of that wisdom. Verse 16, 1 Kings 3:16. Then there came two women that were harlots unto the king, and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass, the third day after I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. And there was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night, because she lay upon it. And she arose at midnight, and took my son from beside me, while thy handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had looked at it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, whom I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, The one saith, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other saith, No, nay, but thy son is dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, Fetch me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one, and half to the other. Then spake the woman, whose the living child was, unto the king, for her heart yearned over her son, and she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, It shall be neither mine nor thine, divide it. Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it, she is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do justice. Now let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we confess that the educators of the day, the ones that are religiously inclined, were to think of inserting things in the Bible, nothing like this would ever have been there. But we are thankful that you tell us in the Scripture about 10 virgins, and you have told us in the portion to be read tonight about 2 harlots. Our Father, your wisdom is not like our wisdom. And so we pray that we shall learn. We shall learn from those that are free from such contamination, and that we shall learn also from those that you describe simply as harlots or those who in the city are sinners. So teach us these lessons, our God, and help us in the matter of judgment to know what to think about those that are similar in their vocations in life. We thank you for the blessings of the day thus far. We thank you for the chance to be with the children of God and to remember your Son. And we are thankful that tonight a handful has come out and they want to hear the word of God, and we desire to feed these lambs and these sheep. So bless us, we pray. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, In the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. What happens is this. We think of people that are in like occupations, that live in the same place, and we think that all of them are the same. When the Lord Jesus was asked by his disciples when they saw this man born blind, who sinned, this man or his parents? They put in the same category all of those that were somehow physically afflicted. They said, they've sinned. And so, did he sin or did his parents sin that he should be born blind? And the Lord Jesus said, neither did this man sin nor his parents that he was born blind, but that the works of God might be wrought in him. So when we look at these women, please understand that God says that they are both harlots. There's no difference between them. They are both harlots. But they are ever so distinct. They are not alike in another respect in the least. And that's why God brings this to our attention. And I could have told you about other women of ill repute in the book of Proverbs that speaks about them having an adamant forehead, the base nature. God tells us about harlots. And what we think is that all of them are the same. All of them are the same in this. They're committing sin if they're harlots. But it does not mean that though they are committing sin, it does not mean that there is not a possibility that in their heart they can turn from their sin and trust the Lord Jesus as Savior. So if you had a group of women, and some of them were religiously inclined, were fastidious when it came to obeying all the precepts of God, and you had other women, and they were harlots. Now, which ones do you think would be acceptable in God's sight, and which ones would you think would bring glory to the Lord Jesus? You say, that's elementary. Why, the ones that are religiously inclined, the ones that look after all the precepts of God. But that's where we would be wrong, because the Lord Jesus was in the house of Simon the Pharisee, and in the portion I read you in Matthew chapter 21, he was talking about Pharisees, and he said to them, publicans, that is, tax collectors, and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. So I want you to understand that when God looks at those who are living in sin and have an occupation that is of such a nature that if the high priest's daughter turned out to be a prostitute, she was to be burned with fire. That's what God thinks of it. But at the same time, understand that in such people, there is not always an incorrigible heart. There may be something there that the Spirit of God can lay hold on and can turn around. I wanted to introduce the portion with these thoughts at first, because God looks upon harlots in a twofold way. He condemns them as being worthy of death if they dishonor their father, the priest, and at the same time, he uses them as illustrations of those who get into heaven before all of the religious Pharisees that surrounded the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something of interest. Did you know that King David, the man after God's own heart, his great-great-grandmother was a harlot? Rahab the harlot was married to Salmon. Salmon begat Boaz. Boaz begat Obed. Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat King David. And this Rahab the harlot was one who gave shelter to the two spies of the nation of Israel that came in, and she knew that God was God, and that He was going to prevail, and her heart was converted, and God honored that woman's faith, because it says in Hebrews 11, by faith, Rahab the harlot, by faith. And so, in the heart of a wicked sinner, there may be a faith that cannot be found in the heart of a religious Pharisee. So what does that mean? It does not mean that we are to despise those that are religiously inclined and to embrace those that live the life of a harlot, but at the same time, you do not know just what is in the heart of an individual by their outward appearance. Because these Pharisees were the ones that put Jesus to death. And the harlot that I read you about in Luke chapter 7 was one who came and worshipped at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, let's think about these two women for a moment. The good and the bad. The Lord tells us about these women because it is an illustration of the supernatural wisdom that God gave to Solomon. And what I marvel at is this, how the two women of such an occupation and of ill repute get to come before the king of the whole nation of Israel. But that is the way things were done in those days. They had access to the king, and at times, widow women that were in dire straits, they would come and make an appeal to the king. And in the case of David, Joab sent a woman, and she pleaded with the king, and she was a woman that had no reputation. She had no social standing, and yet she came before the king. And this is a remarkable thing. And in the case tonight, somehow, the greatest king in the land is available to decide a question concerning the death of a child when two women that are harlots both claim to be the mother of that living child. I've wondered what could cause a woman to fall into the occupation of being a harlot. And I thought of some things, and I remember seeing a documentary that was telling about such things, and at times, some of them are there because of poverty. They have no education, they have no skills, and so because of poverty, they go into this profession of harlotry. That's why some are there. In other instances, in this documentary, it said that some run away from home, disobey their parents, and they fall in with a man that prostitutes them. And so they do what he tells them. And others, I'm told, do this because they have no love in the home, and they think this is the only way that they can find love. And also I am told that some of them are addicted to drugs, and they must have these drugs, and the only way that they can get money for these drugs is by prostitution. And so that's why they are there. And some of them become addicted to this, and they're never able to get out of it. So, whatever the reason, I do not know. Here are two women that are harlots, and they live in the same house with one another, and both of them have children. Now, here is a remarkable thing, that this woman, whose child was alive, but this other woman who was a harlot, pretended that the dead child was her child and the living hers, you find a noble heart in this woman, and you find things that are missing and are descriptive of people that are going to live in the last day. This is what it says. In the last day, there will be people without natural affection. Who can think of a child and there is no concern, no love for this child? And remember, this is the child of some man, and it may not even be known who the father of that child was. And yet, here is a woman who loves that child, and she's willing to make any sacrifice to keep that child alive. This child is a bastard, and the Bible, I could have read you about that, it says a bastard cannot come into the congregation of God to the 10th generation in the Old Testament. And yet, this little baby has been born, and this woman, who is a harlot, loves that child. There is natural affection in her heart for that child. How tender. Because there are some who are not harlots today, and look at the way they deal with their children, what they think of them, they would be glad to get rid of them. There are some who say, I never want to see them again. But somehow, there is natural affection in the heart of this woman, and she wants this child. And because of that, she comes before the king, and she pleads for the life of that child. I'm thinking that many today, if someone had said, why, your child died, they would be delighted. Why? Because before the child is born, they have it put to death. That's how little they care about it. And then after they're born, I read again and again that they cast those children into garbage cans and throw them out by the side of the highway to die. And that's what the Bible means when it says, without natural affection. And so they murder the children before they come into the world. And if they come into the world, they're ready to cast them aside. They have no natural affection. But thank God, here is a woman who is a harlot, and she has natural affection, and she loves that child as much as a married father and mother would love the child that was born to them. And so let us remember that this is the character of one of these harlots. But remember the one that is contending that the living child is hers. She is an example of what a harlot is. For selfish reasons, she wants that child. God knows why. Some have suggested this. She wants it for the simple reason that in her carelessness, in the bed, the child is beside her, and she rolls over on that child, and the poor thing smothers to death. And now she's going to be held accountable for the death of that child. And how much would be involved? What would the penalty be? And so what she tries to do is to steal this child from another. You say, well, so she is a coward and she doesn't care for the child. She doesn't want that living child. She just wants to put the blame for the death of a child on that other woman so that she will be exonerated. That could be the reason. But at the same time, the reason I know that it's base and her reason is of no worth is this. When Solomon says, to be decided as to who is the mother of this child, it cannot be decided. Bring a sword, and we'll cut the child in two, and I'll give half to you, and I'll give half to you. And this wicked harlot says, yes, that's the way to do it. Give me half, and give her half. And that is the heart of some. She does not care anything about the child, but there is selfishness in her. There is mercilessness in her. And what her profession is, so her heart is. So do not look upon all harlots now, because I've told you of two examples of those that have a good heart, humanly speaking. But you look at the bad ones as well. And I do not know how many harlots you would find like the woman in Luke 7 and this one in 1 Kings chapter 3. But thank God that he does take examples, even from those we would never expect to find it in, and he gives us those examples. the Lord Jesus, as well as God in the Old Testament, our Savior in the New, he brings a harlot as an example before us, as one that loves much. Her love surpasses the love of this Simon the Pharisee. And at the same time, wherever he found faith, he would recognize it. Here is this centurion, and he says, I have a servant that's dear to me, and I want you to come down and heal my servant. And so the Lord Jesus said, yes. Elders were sent to beseech this centurion for that. And when the Lord Jesus was about to do what they said, he said to the Savior, he said, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. And then he goes on and tells the natural things that occurred in his life. And he said, you just speak the word and my servant shall be healed. And the Lord Jesus said, I've not found so great faith, no, not in all Israel. And so who would expect to find faith in a Gentile? The Jews were prepared to murder the Lord Jesus Christ because he gave examples in Luke chapter 4 about in the Old Testament there were many lepers, but only a Gentile, Naaman the leper, was healed. And there were many widows, but only the widow of Zarephath was blessed by Elijah. And they hated him. They wanted to kill him for it. But the Lord Jesus, it made no difference to him. He goes and he finds truth and love and faith wherever it is to be found. And then he brings it to the minds of those that will listen to him. And the Apostle Paul seeks to do this. He says in the book of Romans, I want to cause my countrymen to be jealous. It may be that I can win some of their souls by showing them examples among the Gentiles as to what they should do. And the Lord Jesus, in rebuking his own people in Matthew chapter 21, said this. He said, John the Baptist came to you in the way of righteousness, and you rejected him. He said, but the publicans and the harlots believed him, and they entered the kingdom of heaven before you do. So here is the Lord Jesus, and he is telling us that a man's heart is not always a heart that cannot be reached, but those that seem to be without the grasp of the mercy of God turn out to be the ones that will respond. So what does it mean? It means that if I go to a home and I'm witnessing and I find that this person is religiously inclined, I'm liable to think, why, this person will be easy to win for the Lord Jesus Christ. But you speak to them and you find that they're self-righteous and you'll find that they have no need of forgiveness. They're like those 99 sheep that have not gone astray. And I remember speaking to a man once and telling him that he needed to be saved, and he was talking about his own righteousness. He said, if I stood before God, God wouldn't cast any mud upon me. And so that's when I knew he needed to be saved. But that was the opinion that he had of himself. And yet, here are some that are in this profession, and they know what they are, and they're ashamed of themselves. And if they have an opportunity and they learn that the Lord Jesus loves them and that he will receive them, then they will turn from their evil ways and they will trust Christ as Savior, and they shall turn out to be better worshipers than self-righteous Pharisees like Simon the Pharisee. And so that's the only consolation of some who were sinners. I was a sinner for 19 years. And here is Timothy in the Bible, who from an infant had known the Holy Scriptures that were able to make him wise unto salvation. And Timothy's life had been one that was separate from sin. He had a godly grandmother and mother, and he knew the Word of God. And so when he was saved, there would not be many sins to turn away from. But here are those like harlots whose lives have been lives of sin. And when they turn away from that, how much they can love the Lord Jesus Christ. for this reason. The Lord Jesus said, now, there is a woman that has been a harlot, and yet she is worshipping me. Let me tell you about two men. One owed a small amount, and one owed a great amount, and neither one of them could pay it. And the man to whom they owed the money forgave them both. Which one will love him the more? And Simon, it took no great wisdom to say why, the one that he forgave the more to. And the Lord Jesus said, you have answered rightly. So that's the only consolation. Inasmuch as I was a sinner for 19 years, I think how much I owe the Lord, and therefore I say, God is deserving of all the love and worship that I can give him. But then there are those that are self-righteous, and I remember from maybe 50 or more years ago, talking to one that I went to high school with, and I was witnessing to this high school companion, and she must have been a moral person, and I told her that the Lord was prepared to save a deep-dyed sinner just as much as he was prepared to save her. And she said, do you mean that when I get to heaven, why, this person that's been a sinner will be as good as I am? And I said, yes. They've both been cleansed by the precious blood of Christ. Yes. And she was indignant. Then I could go on to tell her about your position in heaven and in the kingdom will be determined by what you do as a Christian for the Lord Jesus. But she was indignant to think that the Lord would love and forgive a sinner as quickly as he would forgive her, a self-righteous person. And this is a lesson that God is teaching us from these two harlots. It's this, that you look at a person and you do not understand what is the condition of their heart, whether they will receive Christ as Savior or whether they will reject him, and if they do receive him as Savior, how great a worshiper they might be. So that's the only consolation. He that has been forgiven much shall love much. And I was challenged on that once, because some person insisted, since he had been such a great sinner, that a person that hadn't been a great sinner could not love the Lord Jesus as much as he. Well, if that is so, let's bring up our children to be vile sinners, so that when they get saved, they'll be able to love the Lord Jesus more. You say, it couldn't be that way. Why, of course not. But here is Timothy, and what he could do is to love the Lord Jesus as much as that great sinner loved the Lord Jesus, because the Lord Jesus had kept him from all of those great sins. Yes, my Savior, for the sins that you have kept me from committing, I love you and I thank you for that. I thank you that when I come, though I am a sinner, I am not through and through a sinner. But I am a sinner that has been kept from all of these vile practices of life, and I love you for that. So here is Solomon in his wisdom. And Solomon, we are told, understood about trees and beasts and birds and fishes. He understood about all these things, and he also understood about human nature. He knew the human heart. Now, today it would be easy to find out whose baby this was. They have this test that they can, the DNA test, and they can look at the blood and say, yes, well, this child belongs to that person. They did not have it, and Solomon did not need it. And so he knew human nature. Which woman is going to want to preserve the life of that child? Why, the mother whose heart loves that child. And so all he has to do is to say, bring a sword and divide the child half to one and half to the other. And he looked at the heart of that woman who said, no, no, give her the child. Save the child. And Solomon said, I'm not going to give her the child. I'm going to give you the child, because you are the mother. You love that child. And so it's good if we know human nature. And it makes me think of our Savior in John chapter 2. It said that when he was at the feast, many believed on him, but he did not entrust himself to them because he knew the heart of man. He knew what was in man. And so the Lord Jesus knew in whose hearts those who trusted him, he could entrust his love to them, and the ones who, maybe though they had trusted him, they were not those that he could give himself wholly to. So these are some of the lessons that we learn from the two harlots that came before Solomon. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray that you shall forgive any hypocritical spirit that is in us. When we look at those that have committed sins that we may never have committed, to think that we are better than they are, and to look at these sinners and to think that they can never be reached by the Lord Jesus, we are thankful that you show us again and again that this is wrong, that not only can they be reached, but there may be one like that woman who in the city was a sinner, who shall turn out to be a great worshiper of the Lord Jesus, who can give him all the devotion of her heart. So help us, our Father, to look at these examples. We pray for all of those who are in professions like these of which we've read tonight. Our God, let someone reach them and let them respond and love the Lord Jesus. And let them not continue in sin that grace may abound, but our Father, let them be brought out of it and deliver us, we pray. We thank you for the love that loves all men, good men, humanly speaking, and bad men as well. And we are thankful that you can redeem them and make something of value out of them both. Receive our thanks, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.